Good morning, Faith Community Church. I promise I'm not going to make you sing this year. We sang that song last year. It was pretty funny. Those of you that aren't laughing didn't think it was funny, huh? So, in talking about Maker Fun Factory, the first thing that came to my mind was games. We played a ton of games this weekend. How many of you kids love the games that we played? Yeah? Yeah, it was pretty awesome. We played a lot of games. So, I was doing some research, and I came across an article the other day. Who knows what the number one selling video game of all time is? What do we think? What do we think? Can I chat it out? We can. This is Pac-Man, I hear. Donkey Kong. Mario. It's actually Tetris. Tetris. According to an article posted by Forbes, as of July, Tetris has sold over 495 million copies. It's simple, right? You move the blocks. I still love playing Tetris, right? It's an amazing game. All right, challenge. Who can tell me the second highest selling game of all time? Number two? It's not Mario. It's not even a Nintendo franchise. It's Minecraft. Hear all the cheers? Most of the kids in here have played this game. In fact, I played this game back in 2010 when I was in high school with my friends. We loved Minecraft. This game, it's for those of you that have never played it before, just think like virtual Legos. You exist in a world, right? You break blocks, you pick them up, and you move them somewhere else. That's it. In fact, it's not much different. It's like 3D Tetris, which when you think about it, it makes sense. As of February of this year, Minecraft has sold over 122 million copies. It's insane, right? For a video game, which the entire point of the game was to prove you don't need graphics to play the game. It's just pixelated blocks. It's amazing. When we were in high school, my friends and I got together and we built an entire city out of Minecraft. Now keep in mind, if you look at each individual block, we had to place by hand. That skyscraper in the background is 15 stories tall. And we built a massive metropolis. It took about four of us almost 2 years to build this entire thing. It was insane. We put together a server online, which had this bank actually worked. You could take your items into the bank and trade them for currency, and then trade with other players. We lived in this world from 2010 to about 2013, just shy of like 2.5 years, I think. But we loved this place. It was fantastic, and the reason the city was able to get so big was because we were super competitive, right? One guy would build, a 10-story skyscraper, so right next door, just to piss him off, we would build another skyscraper 15 stories tall. Right? And that's how the city grew. Somebody would build a giant church, right? So then I would show up, oh, I'm going to build a hospital, right? I'm going to build a police station. We had anything you could think of existed in this city. The problem was our competitiveness eventually turned from productive to destructive. Instead of challenging each other to build, you'd log in and you'd see that there were like blocks missing from the last building you made. Or there'd be a sign outside your door that's calling you like stupid or something. Or just silly stuff. Well, one of the things about Minecraft is there's TNT in the game. And one of the guys starts hoarding blocks of TNT. And we started to get a little nervous. So we started hoarding blocks of TNT. And we had a literal Cold War on our hands, where it's an arms race to see who can get the most TNT. Unfortunately, like the real Cold War, ours didn't end so well. City blew up. Thankfully, I had to save, and it doesn't look like that today. But anyway, competitiveness, right, it can be good, but it can also be bad, right? When it comes to sports, competitiveness is great, right? It pushes you to be the best person that you can be, right? It challenges you to beat the opposing team. It pulls the best out of you. But unfortunately, as human beings, we also see the other side of that. We compare ourselves to everyone around us. Right, well, my job is better than this person, but so-and-so makes more than I do. Right, my clothes might not look as good as this person, but at least I'm smarter than them. And the more you do that, the more you look at yourself that way, the more you'll realize you'll never, ever be satisfied. Because if you're constantly looking for external sources, you'll always let yourself down. Because we are so, so great as human beings at finding the flaws in our lives and finding the good things about other people's lives. One of the hard things about being on staff here is I'm the youngest spiritually and I'm the youngest physically. And so it gets really, really easy to look at amazing speakers like Pastor Mark, right? Awesome people like Pastor Benji, amazing people like Pastor Deb, right? And you knock yourself down. You see all the things that are great about them and you realize, well, I'm not that wise. I'm not that smart. I'm not that good at speaking, right? And it gets really, really easy to put yourself in a dark place. One of my first times going to the staff meetings, right? Pastor Mark prays after every staff meeting. And at the end of this, I was like 3 weeks after my first staff meeting, Pastor Mark asks me to pray. And I'm like, oh, I got this, right? It's time to prove that I am one of the big dogs, right? I can sit at this table. I deserve to be here. And so I start praying, and I don't remember the whole context of the prayer, but like 3/4 of the way through, I start to get a little nervous. And I forget exactly, but it was something along the lines of like, dear God, just pray that every move we make and every step we take, you'll be watching us. And I, as the words come out of my mouth, I realize I've just sang a song by the Police. And I quickly try and finish up the prayer, you know, say my amen, everybody says amen, and it gets quiet for a second, and everybody's packing up stuff, and I'm thinking, okay, did nobody notice? Did I get away with it? And in true Pastor Mark fashion, he looks up, and he goes, you know, never thought the Police would be in a prayer. I got about this big in that second. I was so embarrassed. And Pastor Deb brought it up a few weeks ago just to like throw it in my face. No, but the thing is, when we sit in these moments of embarrassment, right? We sit in these areas and we assume that that's who I am. I'm just an embarrassing person. I can't pray. I'm not good enough to be at this table. You'll find yourself in a really dark place and you know, it's really easy to fall into that hole. But I was talking with a really good friend of mine earlier this week during VBS. She looks at me and she goes, you know, Ryan, as long as you're being the best Ryan you can be, you're serving God perfectly. And that just sat with me, especially during this time of created by God, built for a purpose. I wasn't chosen to be in this ministry because I'm as close to Pastor Vince as God could get. He didn't choose me because I'm another version of Pastor Mark. If I was a copy, I wouldn't be necessary. I'd be extraneous. I'm a duplicate. See, God called me to be here because I am who I am. I am Ryan Sylvia. I'm the crazy, wild, energetic guy that comes up on stage and talks about video games for 5 minutes. He'll come up on stage during, you know, Black Friday, Good Friday. I do that every time. During Good Friday, right? And talk about nachos. That's who I am. That's the kind of person that I am. I've got that energy, and that's what God wants from me. And the second that I try and be somebody else, the second that I try and act like someone else, that's when I fail. That's when I stop doing God's work, because God called me to be me. And he did the exact same thing with each and every one of us. We started off VBS with this verse from Psalms 139:14. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Each and every one of us has so many different things about us. We all fit into the perfect niche in this world because that's the way that God made us to be. And if he wanted us to be somebody else, and if he wanted us to exist somewhere else, that's where you'd be. We ended this week with a verse from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Not only did he make you, but it comes full circle. He made you so that you would fit exactly where you are. He made you so that the role that you need to play, you will be able to play perfectly. So when I was younger, it's really easy to look at life as a series of transitions, right? When you're younger, right, you're just waiting until you grow up. Well, when I grow up, when I'm older, when I turn 18, when I graduate, right? That's when your life changes. That's when life begins, right? And then you get into college, it's, oh, well, when I get a job, right? When I graduate, when I finish. And then you get into your first job. Okay, well, when I start my career, when I get that promotion, when I get married, when you're married, when I have kids, right? And if you look at life like that, you can always find an excuse that you're in a transition period, that it's the next step that God is calling me for. Well, what about right now? What about where we are right now? God doesn't waste time. There's no transition for God. It's where you are and what you're doing. In order for any of that to work, we have to understand that we were made by God for God to serve in his kingdom now. Because the second we wait, the second we start thinking that it's not now, it's later, that's when you miss the opportunities. That's when you miss out on all the great things that God has for you. And without that, without that love, without that power, that understanding, that knowing, right? Because there's knowing and there's knowing. And when you know that you were created by God as a child of Jesus Christ, that you were saved, that he died on the cross for you, because he loves you, that's when you understand the power that Jesus really has for us. That's when you understand the love and the grace that he has poured out for each and every one of us. And it's not because of something we did. It's not because of something you earned. It's because you exist. It's because God said so. He created us, and he said, that's good. So I want to pray right now over each and every one of us. Dear Lord Jesus, I just pray right now that we would come to know what it means to be a daughter or a son of the one true God. Pray that we would own that label. We would own it like a badge of honor. That it wouldn't be something we feel like we have to hide when we go to work. It wouldn't be something we feel like we have to put in the background when we're hanging out with our non-Christian friends. And it wouldn't be a weight that holds us down. But that name, son or daughter of the one true God, would be something that sets us free. That despite what the world out there says, you're not smart enough, you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, that Jesus' sacrifice would wipe all those words away. And that we would remember Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, is our one true Father. And with him and through him, I can do anything.